All right, so let's start. Ashta Nedarim. We got the yesterday we were dealing with what's included and what's not included in certain terms, and the Gemara is going to continue this effort to discern that which is bound in each term or the meaning of each term that the Mishnah mentions. So here we start at the beginning of Nun Gimel Aleph, the Mishnah. No der mina tamarim, mutar b'dvash tamarim. So one takes a nether from dates, right, then his nether does not include, right, honey from tamarim. Misidvaniyot, mutar b'chometz sidvaniyot. So sidvaniyot are from Lord Lashon Stav, right, from the late, the winter, the late bloomers, but these are grapes that do not ripen. They remain in their infant state, and therefore they are sour. And so what they're used for generally, they happen to be used for, is vinegar. So in this state, if you take you restrict yourself in sidvaniyot, if you restrict yourself in these types of grapes, you're still allowed to eat the or use the vinegar that comes from these grapes. It would have been teiro mer kol shem told the to kruya alav, but no der himeno aser biyotze himeno. Right, anything that its derivative product, right, has its name on it, then is asur. But anything that is a part of the chachamim matirim, and the chachamim allow it. So obviously, you have to explain how the chachamim are different than the Tanakhama. But the fact that it's called dvash tamarim and chometz sidvaniyot, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Teira, that's enough of a connection or a subcategory, right? It's enough of a relevance or a similarity to the original that it will be subsumed under the nether that you make for the shem ha'av, which means either tamarim or sidvaniyot here.
Is the Chachamim a different opinion than the first opinion?
Yes, that's the first question the Gemara has. It's Chachamim, Hainu Tanakama. What are they arguing about? They're saying it's Mudar, that's what the Tanakama said, and so did Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. So the Gemara says, Ika Beinayu Hadetanyo. What's the difference between the Tanakama and the Chachamim has to do with this Breita. Klauze, Amar Rabbi Shimon Azar. This is the principle that Shimon Elazar established. Kol shedarko le'echol, anything that has, or le'echel, anything that's normally eaten, v'derech hayotze mimena le'echol, or le'echel, right? And also that which comes out of it is normally eaten. Kanon, what's an example of that? Tamarim, v'dvash tamarim. Something where both of them are normal usages of a date. Right? People eat dates, and people also eat date honey. So both of those are normal ways to eat the item. Then nadarbo. Right, now there are two pirsos here. Let's say start with the first case of the Tanar Gemara. Is nadarbo asur biyotze mimenu? If he takes a nether about tamarim, he is restricted in that which comes out of it. No der miyotze mimenu. And if he takes a nether about that which is a derivative product, asur bo. Is restricted in it. So meaning that when the usage, right, is equal, meaning both that item, the raw item, or not, I don't call it the raw, but the actual fruit itself and its derivative product are equally valid uses, then when you take a nether from either one of them, you're restricted in the other. So that's the girsa. Now if you look, you guys are probably marked also, but the grah, right, changes the girsa here to read mutar.
Slight difference.
Right, just a little bit. So the reasoning, right? So the way we explained it, right? The way the Gersa reads an argument, where you would just say that if it's an equal usage, therefore when you take a nether from either item, then the other one's also restricted because that's what a person has in mind. When they take such a nether, right? Then their nether subsumes a subcategory that would be a normal usage, and therefore when I say tamarim, I mean normal ways to eat tamarim, which is the dates themselves and dvash tamarim. But if I say dvash tamarim, I also mean tamarim because those are both normal usages. That's the way that Girsa and Gemara reads. The way the Rukra has the Girsa, which may make a little more sense, is if it's an equal usage, then when I define the item, then that's the only item I'm restricting. I mean, since eating tamarim is a valid usage of tamarim, so therefore if I restrict tamarim, I mean just tamarim. I don't mean the derivative of tamarim. If I say devash tamarim, that's what I mean because that's a proper usage of it. Whereas we'll see in the second half of the brisa, if there's only one proper usage of the item, and then I take a nether from, say, pick an item where only its derivative is normally eaten, then I restrict myself in the item, then I really mean the derivative, because that's the normal usage of it, as opposed to here, where there is valid usage to whatever I'm restricting, and therefore that's all that is restricted. Right? It's the way that we're all reading. Now, the next... something that's normally not eaten, right? But so, its derivative product is normally eaten. Therefore, no, their bow ain't usher el biyotzi mimenu. And then usher in the derivative product, so it's kavan zel biyotzi mimenu. Right? That's the only intended for, right, the product that comes out. That we can pick. You can pick certain food items that have that are not normally eaten in them in of themselves, well, but yet they're
example.
Right.
Right, like your example of the
Sidvania.
Sidvania.
Right. You know, like the juice oranges that they grow. Specifically, I don't think I've ever had them myself, but like people tell me, it's like impossible to eat them. They're like really.
So that would be a Elizabeth case like that, where you would, if you restrict yourself in a juice orange.
But that means that there's orange.
So these are important because of the derivative. So now, based on this from Shimon ben Elazar, right, the Rishonim are trying to explain, and again, has to do with how you read the, right, how you read the Braisa, because whether it's Mutar or Asur, it's also going to have an impact on how you view this impacting on the Machlokas between the Tanakhama and the Chachamim. But the basic principle that Rav Shimon ben Elazar lays out, let's at least say it this way, the basic principle is that it's important what the normal usage of the fruit is important. Right? We have this year in Shemitah, we have the same factor, right? When the peros are kadosh v'kedusha shvius, you're only allowed to do with them that what you normally do with them. You can only eat them raw or cooked if that's the normal way to eat them, which is raw or cooked, or you normally would eat them. Right? To have them or use them in a manner that is not the normal manner to use, that's a problem of ma'avid perot shvius. So the same thing Rabbi Shimon Oz is pointing out here is that you have to, when you take the nether, your reference is to the normal usage of the fruits or the normal way this fruit gets used. Right. So now, how does this explain the machlokas between, right, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, between the Chachamim and the Tana Kama? So this is a, if you look down in the...
Okay. This is another example of the Nidarim being different than Adam's Zephyrus. And usually, when we're asked a question like that and it brings the price, they would then say, so, you know,
well, which party?
Chachamim are, you know,
right. All like this, right? So they don't. Although all the Rishonim learn, it's interesting. All of them learn that it's that Chachamim are the same way. It's just a question of how much they hold of the Chachamim. All right. Let's see here. Kach Karsinan. You know what? Down in the Ran, the widest lines in the Ran, four lines down, and the widest lines in the Ran. Kach Karsinan b'Hilchos Rambanzal. See that? Kach Karsinan b'Hilchos Rambanzal. B'Achi Perishu. B'Hai Pligi. Tanakama polig by the Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar bit tarvayhu. The Tanakama argues on Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's points on both points. Clearly, the Tanakama, the ben darko lechol, ben ain't darko lechol. Whether it's normal to eat it, whether it's not normal to eat it, bo velo biyotzi mimenu. Whatever you say, that's what you mean. Right? It doesn't matter whether that's the normal or not the normal way of its usage. What you say is what you are restricting. Rav Shimon ben Elazar, and Rav Shimon ben Elazar believes the relation with Darko Lechol, with Darko Yotzi Men Lechol, Asher B'Shneihem. That's the gears that we have in our Gemara, right? Ushein Darko Lechol, with Darko Yotzi Men Lechol, Asher B'Yotzi Men Below Bo. That's the way our price reads in the gears of our Gemara. Baham Avi Kleh L'Tanah Gama L'Gamrin, right? And that's the Tanah Gama disagrees. Rav Yehuda Ben Teiru, Sovereign law, Rav Shimon ben Darko Lechol, but Derech Hayotzi Men Lechol. Yehuda ben Teira says that when it's normal to eat the product and its derivative, then he holds like Rav Shimon ben Elazar that it's Asur Bi Shnehem. That's Rav Yehuda ben Teira in our Mishnah, who says that you're Asur both in the Tamarim and the Vash Tamarim. You're Asur in Tzidvaniyot and in Chomet Tzidvaniyot. But he argues with him, when the item itself is normally not eaten, but its derivative is. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Teira lo shani li. Doesn't make a difference. Rabbi Yehuda ben Teira says you're usher in both. Why? Because he says that the term the tamarim means both tamarim and dvash tamarim. They're subsumed in a single category. They're connected through their name. They both are called tamarim somehow. Once
well, in that case, those are both they're both darko lechol. But you're saying
right, but even sidvaniyot, maybe where you don't normally eat sidvaniyot, but you have chometz, now you're restricted in both.
Right.
Right? The Reb Shimon ben Elazar shani like the mitzvah Rabbi Yossi menu, and Reb Shimon Elazar holds that only the derivative product would be Rabbanan batrai, and the Rabbanan at the end the Masisin Hainu Reb Shimon ben Elazar. They are Reb Shimon ben Elazar. When they say Chachamim Matirim, but they are like Reb Shimon Elazar. Kai I ain't dark alechol, and they are saying mutar is on what on the passage that says ain't dark alechol when it's not normally eaten. Meaning that when the product itself is not normally eaten, then that product is mutar. Like the sidvaniot would be mutar, and only the chometz sidvaniot would be restricted. Okay. So then, if you skip down a couple lines in the Ran, he says l'inyan halacha. Isn't it a couple lines down? So when you say what you say is what you mean, right? And we don't look at the subcategories that are.
We don't even look at the definition of the word.
Right. Why? I mean,
because sidvaniot, no one eats it.
Right. But that's right. But it is the word. The word you used was sidvaniot, even though you don't eat them. But that's the word you used. So right. We are using the definition of the word. We don't look at what's normal, what people might mean by that word. Like, why would they restrict themselves in sidvaniot? There's really no reason to, right?
Right.
We had a general visual that a person will say something meaningless,
right?
And it's practically meaningless over there. If nobody eats it, then right. what's he really?
If they do, I mean, someone he's restricting himself. That's it. I mean, there's a possibility to eat them. They're just not very pleasant to eat.
Like lemon. Some people eat lemon.
Right. It wouldn't be the normal way. Right. I will say that. All right.
Okay.
That was the. All right. So that's the little first piece of Gemara. Next piece of the Gemara, which has actually some nafkamiyos alacha. Every once in a while, we bump into them in the dorm. Aside from taking the dorm against your wife and your family and friends, right, there are some things that we see derivative halachos that are very important. And today, this next section of the Gemara has this important point in it. All right, another mina yain, yuter b'yain b'yain tapuchim. Someone who takes a nether from wine, right, then he's not apple wine. Right, it is not, I don't know if it's cider. I don't know what they're exactly referring to, but that they did not mean that. Because when people say wine, they don't really mean yain tapuchim. Mina shemen, mutar b'shemen shumshemin. Right? Someone who takes a nether from shemen, what would you normally associate with shemen? That is olive oil, right? In their day, shemen. So therefore, he's mutar in shemen shumshemin, in sesame oil. Right? Now, mina dvash. Right? Someone says, I'm not going to have honey. Then what honey means from the bees? Mutar b'dvash tamari. He's mutar to have date honey.
That's pretty funny because in the Torah it says Shannon.
What's the machlokes to some of the Adamah to Shana Torah?
Right, very good. So right, we're not. That's exactly right. Since he's right on the money here, that it's right in Nedarim. We don't use the Torah to define the term. We use the right the, what the normal linguistic usage.
Yeah, but what if it's something like you know that's actually one of the.
Meaning.
One of the meanings of.
Right, so it might make a difference. But the truth is, it might make a difference. I'm going to see that in different places. Yeah, it could. This Mishnah might only be relevant where normally, like if you're in a place where honey means bee honey.
What's the same with shemen today? I mean,
very good.
What's
so that's exactly what
the
Gemara is going to discuss with that. So that's true. If in Israel, where olive oil is the major oil product, then that might be the case. But outside of Israel, where other oils right have more dominant status, then maybe the oil refers
to Saudi Arabia, Texas.
Black cream.
Beverly Hills.
All right, so if someone says vinegar, they mean vinegar that is from, wine that was there, but not chometz sidvaniot, not the vinegar that comes from these unripened grapes. Mina krishim, krishim, that mutar bekaflutot. Right, someone who takes a nether from krishim, which are leeks, right, then he's mutter in kaflu tot, which I'm not exactly, they're not a subcategory of krishim that I do know. I'm not exactly sure what they are.
Leeks with head.
Okay.
Leeks versus leeks with head.
Again, I still don't know what they are.
Yarek. If I say alien quorum, would that help you?
No, I can't say it. All right, whatever it is, we know that it's not a, it's not, when you talk about the leeks, you're talking about the general leek category. All right, mina yarek, if you say vegetables, this is interesting. Mutar b'yirakot ha-sadeh, shuvay yashem levai. Vegetables, you refer to vegetables that are grown in a garden, and not wild vegetables that are growing out in the field. because vegetables generally mean the vegetable patch, the vegetable garden, not vegetables out in the field. Shehu Shem Levi, right? That's like a nickname, but what it basically means is that you don't call vegetables or fruits that are found out in the field Yerek, just vegetables, just Stam, the word Yerek, but you always say it's Yerek Sadeh. So the fact that it has this additional, right, it's a noun phrase. The noun phrase always has the adjective Sadeh in it. Right, and since it always has the adjective Sadeh in it, it changes the item not to be a Yerek, a vegetable, but to be a Yerek Sadeh. Okay, so now, let's just see here. All right, we'll get back to this. Halacha Tanya. Have a price. A nether min a shemen be Eretz Yisrael. So this is to your question. So someone who takes a nether from oil in Eretz Yisrael, mutter be shemen shum shemen, he is restricted in olive oil, and mutter in sesame oil. Vasur be shemen zayit. Ube Babel, asur be shemen shum shemen, umutter be shemen zayit. So there you go, right out. In Babel, olive oil was not a common product, right? The sesame oil was a common product, and therefore you would be, if you took the nether in Babel, you'd be restricted in sesame oil and not in olive oil.
I must have remembered it from 7 years ago.
Even though, and you can see clearly that Kulim Mar has not, right here, they did.
I don't even remember the name of the Masechta.
Here they don't have, they're mentioning sesame oil and olive oil, right? Oil, like today, would have a different connotation if you were sitting in Babel, Baghdad, Iraq, right? Or, you know, those areas, you know, if you had said oil, right, the connotation of oil today in those areas would be very different than, you know, I don't think sesame oil would be the first thing that came to mind. Alright. Someone who, right, in the places where they use both are equally available, or both are normally used, then shemen means oil, right? Any oil. Right, pshita. So the Gemara says, well, that's a course, right? Lo, tshikha deruba min chad mistapkin. And most people use one type of oil. Ma'al detema isabat deruba. What I would thought was, what go after what the majority use. K'mashvan, safik yisura l'chumra. Whenever you have a safik in yisura, we go l'chumra, and over here. So since the minority of the population uses other oils, right, therefore, those oils would also be included in your nether not to use oil. So that might be today. That's like a good, if you go to, even maybe in Israel, but definitely in America, if you go and say, I'm not using oil, right, that could mean corn oil, right, canola oil, could mean sesame oil. There's so many oils out there. And even though, say, the majority of the population only uses, like, one type of oil, whatever that oil is that the majority uses, nevertheless, right, it is, right, subsumed under this nether of shemen of oil because the usage is normal. I mean, that it's not considered a yotze harig. It's not an exceptional usage of the term or the item, and everybody uses that, even though they're not the growth. Right, now, next. Another mina yerek. So this is important. This has to do with shviz, which is an interesting thing. Another mina yerek, b'shar shnei shavua. Someone who takes a nether from a vegetable outside of shviz, right? B'shar shnei ha-shavua. Shavua here means the seven-year cycle. Right, so then, osur b'yirakot ha-gina. Then, what is he referring to? He's referring to the vegetables in the vegetable garden. And he's mutar in the quote-unquote wild vegetables, because they are not called yirakot. They're not called vegetables. They are called yirakot ha-sadeh. If he takes the nether on shvi'it, then he's asur b'yirakot ha-sadeh, mutar b'yirakot gina. Why? Because what grows on shvi'it? In shvi'it, there is no yirakot ha-gina. You don't plant anything. You don't plant anything, there is no vegetables in the vegetable garden. The vegetable garden is empty. So the only vegetables that are available are what? The vegetables that are in the sadeh, in the field. So therefore, when you take the nether on vegetables, you must be referring to your kot sadeh, because there are no other vegetables available to you. And therefore, you'll be osur in your kot sadeh, and mutar in your kot kina. Alright, now...
Does this mean he's no there during the 6 years, or specifically verbalizes?
No, in the 6 years. He takes his nether during the 6 years, or he takes his nether during
verbalize.
Shviit.
He doesn't say, a nether from Yirakot B'Sha'ari Mazrach.
No. It's where he is. It's his time reference that's more important, not that he explicitly states what it is.
Imported vegetables?
Oh,
is that not
next, Mara. Very good. Lo shanu el b'makom shem yivin yarek mechutz la'aretz. Right, there you go. You see, you remember from 7 years ago also. Says it. So we don't bring... the only place where they don't bring vegetables from outside of the Eretz Yisrael la'aretz. אבל מקום שמבין ירק מחוץ לארץ, לארץ, אסור. Then the reference to ירק would obviously be, yet יבול נחרי, right? Or יבול חול, right? That's not, we have this experience today, you have such a concept. If someone took a nether from Yerakot today, right, what would he be referring to? Because that's it, right? It might be, because you have Yerakot available in different ways. You have Yerakot that are available from, we call it Yerakot HaSadeh, right, in the sense that Otsar HaAretz provides Yerakot that were planted before and growing, although there they seem to be Mutupal by them, so maybe they'll consider Yerakot Gina. You have Heter Mechira, which are grown normally, right, which we are Gina, and then you have Yevol Chutz La'aretz, which are brought in here. So then you don't have... Right, Mama, maybe Maxam in the talk, right? So also hydroponics and hot houses. Right, so you see that it's important with what's the nether references what's available in the marketplace. Right, so if that's what exactly what you asked, what about that you have Yevul Nachri or Yevul Chutz La'aretz, if that's what's found in the marketplace, when a person takes a nether from Yerek, then he's referencing that which is in the marketplace. Right, so now it's just, the Gemara mentions an interesting machlokas. Right, I thought I'd get more excited, although the machlokas really has nothing to do with what we have today. But it would be kitznai. The Gemara says that's a machlokas tanaim, that whether you're allowed to bring yerek mechutz la'aretz. Right? Well, so I thought that would get exciting, but the reason has to do with tumah, not to do with the shvius issues. Right, even in yerek mechutz la'aretz, you're not allowed to bring in vegetables from chutz la'aretz into Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Chanani ben Gamliel, Omer, maybe in Yerk Mechutz La'aretz, you can bring in Yerk Mechutz La'aretz. My time, the Manda Amar A maybe in Yerk. What's the reason? Right, Amar Reviu the Mishum Gush. There's a problem of what? That we're afraid of the dirt that is attached to the vegetables. And what do we know? But the dirt of Chutz La'aretz, Chamim or Gozer, that Eretz Amim has Tuma in it. Right, so therefore, we are afraid that you're going to bring in these vegetables with this Tuma, with this dirt that is on it, and therefore it would be problematic to bring it in. Not because of right any other issue, right? Issue of the Shvius or the Shvius, but because of the dirt or the earth that is on it that is Tameh. Supposed to today, where the restriction of the Rambam brings down a restriction of bringing in Peres Chutz La'aretz and Shvius, not because of that, but because of Ma'arsayin, the problem of, right, if you bring in Peres Chutz La'aretz and people are eating them, they don't know that they are not Kadosh B'Kedusha Shvius. Since they don't know they're not Kadosh B'Kedusha Shvius, then people are going to see you eating them. And it's not enough to put up a sign. You actually, they have to be easily identifiable. Like we talked about with the bread yesterday, right? Milk and bread. It's not enough to have a wrapper on it that says that it's milk or fleishik. The bread has to be in a shape or form that automatically the person knows that it's milk or fleishik bread. That's why we always have power of bread. Right, as it's supposed to here, with vegetables, it's not enough to just put up a shell at the sign that says Yevul Nachri. It has to be, right, that the reason you can't bring in have these vegetables is that people will know for sure that it's not what Yevul Shvi'it, that people are not cheating on Shvi'it. So it happens to be today, the only reason that we don't have, why don't we have that problem today? You know, why are we allowed to bring in Yevul Nachri today? We only use signs, they're not easily identifiable, except from their, smaller size and right, lack of taste and all those sorts of things, but it's not, why are we allowed to do that today? So the only reason, which is an interesting part of the whole reason that we said before, why can't you bring in the Yevul Nachri, is because what's only vegetables that are found are vegetables with Kedushat Shvi'it. So if you bring it in, right, people are going to get mixed up. But is that true today? Are the only vegetables available in the market those of Kedushat Shvi'it? No. You have another whole set of vegetables called Heter Mechira. So the fact that you have vegetables of Heter Mechira in the stores, which makes it that there are plentiful vegetables available that do not have Kedushat Shvi'it, that's what allows us to bring in Yevul Nachri. Because Yevul Nachri, right, people won't mix it up. They'll say, oh, it's Heter Mechira. You know, they'll say, oh, it's Heter Mechira. There are other vegetables in the marketplace that are mutar.
But if you don't have Heter Mechira, then
the right, so that it's
where
people...
Where do you know the Kedushat Shvi'it with Heter Mechira?
With who are...
There are people who are, that's not,
it's generally not accepted. That's the Beis Yosef and the Mabit argue whether they're a, and again, we discussed the other day that whether a Nachri can be a Midei Kedusha. The Beis Yosef says yes, the Mabit says no. In general, we are no hay.
He was
they were no hay Gimbenei Brak. He was no hay that Yevul Nachri should be, right, have Kedusha Shvi'it, which we discussed the other day. Now, so that has, this has implications that those who use Nibul Nakri are really, in some senses, need Heter Mechira in order to allow the Yibul Nakri to be available. It's not that they're relying on Heter Mechira because technically this stuff is not a sur. Even if it's a sur, it's an Isser of Mar Zion or Midir Abanon, right? Not a problem. It's not. It's not. Shvius is not what's driving the Isser there. It's the fact that you'll confuse it with Perot Shvius. Right? So they're not relying necessarily on Heter
Mechira. Are relying on it, you know, the importers of the actual, as opposed to people eating it.
The people eating, you're not allowed to buy these. You're not allowed to be. One of the restrictions is chorev the perot shvi'it. You're not allowed to transact in perot shvi'it. Right. So if there's not, it's not clearly definable, clearly easy for you to know that these, there are perot outside of perot shvi'it, then you couldn't transact in them.
In those areas, saying, is that true?
Yeah.
You are relying on Heter Mechira.
But even though, it's truthfully, even the Chazanish who says, or people do not hold Heter Mechira, right, they first of all differentiated between vegetables and fruits. I was just looking at this yesterday, that because trees and fruit trees pre-exist from the Shemitah year, it's clear that they were not planted. So that the Heter Mechira has a lot more tokik with regards to fruits than vegetables. So when you use Heter Mechira for vegetables, the vegetables are still replanted each year, right, versus trees which pre-exist the Shemitah. So the Avodah Sakarko, or the Avodah Sabri, was already done way before the Shvi'it. They're not being planted on Shvi'it. It's just the Moachot of Botzer and then the important thing is that they use non-Jewish workers for it, Heter Mechira, because even with Heter Mechira, it might be a problem if Jewish workers do all the Melachot because of some of the restrictions that might apply. And I didn't realize, but Ramon's book, he mentions that in this year, in 2000, in Tafshin Samachet, the Shemitah this year, that's almost like 98-99% that anything that's done under Heter Mechira is done with non-Jewish labor. And he writes, L'tzareinu, it's all done with non-Jewish labor, but that is the truth, that is the facts on the ground, right, that it's done by non-Jewish labor. And therefore, you know, even those who do not hold of Heter Mechira, right, when it comes to some things like payroll and so on, it would be, if they are already done through Heter Mechira, right, then it might be okay to eat them. A lot of reasons why payroll, there might be a lot of kulot by payroll, even though, right, today we still haven't even hit Shvius with most of the payroll yet. That'll be a bigger issue coming up in the next 12 months. Right, we haven't really, Yerek's the major issue right now because that's exactly the problem. Yerek needs to be planted every year, right, and it needs to, right, it was planted on Shvius. If it came, because all of a sudden it was planted pre-Shvi'it, now it's basically running out. And that's where Otsaris is running into.
Otsaris potatoes in the article yesterday.
They store them.
They survived the frost. Like, whatever, like 70% of the potato crop was killed by the frost, but because they planted
so early,
you know, just thought they would be planted in the sixth year, it was further ground in stormers, so it survived the frost. So it's kind of like a cue of what they're saying. The plantings of the sixth year will cover you in the seventh year.
Very nice. It's excellent. There's other famous stories in the past with the Chavetz Chaim. Kibbutz Chavetz Chaim was one of the only religious kibbutzim, and they kept Shvi'it and those stories. But the things with the years that they planted on Shvi'it and all the crops were killed out because they didn't plant, and they planted later, they were able to get huge, you know, produce. But it's nice to see, you know, that we're zochet to see such wonderful things. You get adverse selection, which is that you only get the good stories.
Ten people are stuck out or trapped in a burning building, and seven of them are saved. So you're happy
because everything was saved. All right. So now, can we know all about what's the big thing? So now, if you look down in the what's important here is the. Maybe it's later today's time. Should we go this about Yayin? Right, we said in the Mishnah, right, that Yayin, if you say Yayin, you do not include in that Yayin Tapuchim, right? That apple wine is not included in that. What about grape juice? When you say I'm not going to drink wine, right, do I mean only wine, or do I also mean grape juice? Because the Mishnah differentiates between wine, right, and
grape wine and apple wine.
Right? But what about other derivatives of the grape, meaning such as grape juice? Why should it make a difference, right? What is it? What?
Because wine doesn't really.
Right, what's the difference? Now the difference, the big difference is, right, is for Kiddush. Right? It's when you say I need wine for Kiddush, right? Does grape juice qualify for wine and Kiddush?
So if you're a brisker,
Alright, so look down here. Usher be your Akoda Gina. If you could take a Nun Gimel and Aleph in the Ran, it's 2-4 lines from the bottom. Usher be your Akoda Gina. It says, mashma, right? Below Yark said that she's Lashim Levi. Mihu. Few hafim. Hanoder min ayayin. Oser bechamra mevushla or mevashla. Someone who takes a neder from yain is excluded from cooked boiled wine. What is that? That is grape juice, right? Techein katav ha'rambanza. And that's what the Ramban says. The lo damili rakota sedeh. Tehani mina akarina nihu. Those are considered two different categories, two different species. That which is grown in the garden and that which is grown out in the field. That which is wild vegetables versus domesticated vegetables. Aval chamra bechamra vushla chad mina nihu. Wine and boiled wine, meaning grape juice and wine, are considered a
single. Why would you say it's,
but I don't think in their time, chamra vashkla, maybe I'm wrong about this.
Grape juice boiled?
That's how they get the grape juice, right? Because they don't have to ferment it. Right, the boiling stops the fermenting process.
Don't you squeeze it?
But then they boil it. Right. But if you want to stop the fermenting process, then you boil it. Right. That's part of why boiling is problem. You know, meaning getting bouchal on very expensive wines is harder because of the issue that it hurts the flavor or the fermenting process. Just because it's cooked does not change its name. So I thought you could argue that mevushal means down the road, but I don't think that's what they were after. Mevushal, in my sense, in their time meant grape juice.
I don't think what we have today with yain mevushal is...
is what they were referencing.
But the reason that they had something like the decision is yain and same mevushal if a nachri handles it,
it's problematic that we say that
in their Avodah Zarah, they didn't use...
It's true,
that would imply that they had such a concept as Yayin Mavushal or not Mavushal.
You think it was
just grape juice?
Yeah, most of the time. I don't think they used it as wine, because that's the Gemara also determines that it's not Roilim is Be'ah. That's why Yayin Mavushal is not good, because it's not Roilim is Be'ah.
It's totally not fermented at all.
That's my guess. But here, that would suggest here that they're the same. The reason the briskers do not use grape juice is not because of this issue. That they don't disagree that wine is, that grape juice is a subcategory of wine, which is very important in order for it to be useful for Kiddush and Avdala. But they believe, because the Rashbam, there's a Rashbam in the Pesachim that talks about that as needed. The whole idea of using yain is because yain is used for shir, right, for song, and that it has to be something that's needed the Meshachir, something that has an intoxicating nature to it, because that's the idea of the shir and the Kiddush, that it should be over something that is, right, that gives that feeling of intoxication, not simply wine. So they want something with alcohol in it. That's their basic
purpose. They say it needs to be derivative of grape, and it needs to have that...
It has to have alcohol. That's why they're at. Not that they're disagreeing necessarily that grape juice is a subcategory of wine, but because of this other need or desire that they want alcohol to be a part of it. It's important that's a famous story.
The fact that Rabbi David is always a little bit more entertaining after he's had some alcohol.
So that's a famous story with Tversky. Rabbi Tversky runs the program with alcohol abuse and his 10 steps. So they had a priest that came and it was part of the program, and then they wanted to do the sacraments in the church. Right, they use wine for the sacraments in the church. So they wanted to go back to be servicing as a priest after this, but the 10 steps of the program, you can't go back to drinking alcohol. That's part of the issue. Right, part of the issue is not to allow oneself that you have to be, right, osu legamra. You have to remove yourself, like the Rambam says. When you go too far one way, the only way to rectify it is not to do the other way. So those people have abused gambling and drinking, right, then they have to abstain totally in order to prevent themselves from relapsing into these things. So he went back to the priest. They said, he wanted to do the sacraments. He wanted to know if they could do it with grape juice, because that would be the only way to get around it. So they said, well, they wanted to know if it was good. So
they quoted a Reb Chaim.
They called up. That's exactly what happened. They went up to the, but they wanted to ask if they could do the sacraments of wine. They said, well, he, Reb Tursky, you know, they got, you know, sacked off of the Jews. What do the Jews do? They say, oh, we use grape juice for those. So they said, if it's good enough for the Jews to use grape juice, then it's good enough and you can do the sacraments with grape juice.
Somebody used to have.
All right. Irish. Next mission, let's finish up. All right. Mina Kruv. Somebody who takes a nether from a kruv. Oh, sir. The word I read here is asparagus. I don't know if that's what they mean. The Gra says that it's some sort of, some sort of Greek word. Right? That's Bakarif. He says some sort of Greek word that, he says, min kruv shishorna to biyayin, some sort of cabbage that they soak in wine. So when you run a yayin, so bakar nikra asparagus.
They sort of stay on the fence about it because some Rishonim interpret it as a liquid that comes from cooking the cabbage, and although they say what we call asparagus is in the same general category as cabbage, so at least according, maybe that's just right.
Since you have different opinions, I'm not sure it's clear, but I don't know. It was hard for me to understand how asparagus was a derivative of cabbage. Doesn't seem so, but I guess maybe they viewed it.
They feel like a Brussels sprout. Right.
They
look like asparagus.
Right. Small.
And like kruv. So one could imagine it was some kind of thing that maybe crossed the border.
Look at the head of asparagus. You see the
similarity. I don't find it much. I think Brussels sprouts I could see as being a derivative of cabbage, like a mini cabbage. That's what it looks like, right? I mean, but asparagus, that would make me, you know, recoil from saying it's asparagus, but that's, you know, the word's too close to being, you know, the actual word, and it's hard to argue. All right.
Apparently, scientifically, what they're saying
it is the same species.
It is a related species.
All right. Mina asparagus, mutar b'kruv, someone restricts himself in asparagus, mutar b'kruv. Mina grisim, asur b'makfeh, someone restricts himself in grisim, which are, I guess, legumes, then he is asur in makfeh, which is some sort of cooked type of porridge or something that includes these items. If you restrict yourself in this makfeh, this cooked or whatever this thick cooking that you do, or thick dish that you make, then you're not restricted in grisim. If you restrict yourself in makfeh, then you're also in garlic, because garlic seems to be a major ingredient in this makfeh. Rabbi Yossi Matir, he says it's okay. Minashum mutar mefeh. If you restrict yourself in garlic, then he's mutar makfeh, even though it's a major ingredient, it's not called shum, right, in that case. Minashim, just as you just note here, right, Rabbi Yossi in all these cases is Matir. This is the mission that we brought early on to challenge why Rabbi Yossi's opinion was different by kum chalva and chalva. Why did Rabbi Yossi say by kum chalva that it's included in chalva? And the Chachamim said no. And here you see Rabbi Yossi in all these cases over here is Matir. He's the one who says it's not subsumed in the categories. That's what the Gemara said there, that always is a Mishnah issue. Over there, Rabbi Yossi said that kum chalva is called kum chalva. That's what the problem is, whereas opposed to all these cases where each one has an independent name, and even though the item is included in the new product, it's an independent title. Mina Adashim, and this is the part of the Mishnah they quoted, if you restrict yourself in lentils, usher bashishim, then you're usher in bread that is used as lentil flour.
Rabbi
Yossi
wasn't in a
machlokas. Right?
We concluded that it wasn't in
a machlokas. Right, an issue. Just language. Rabbi Yossi Matir. Rabbi Yossi says it's mutar. This is what we brought the challenge from. Mina Yishim, if you restrict himself in this lentil flour, mutar badashim, he can eat lentils. Chita chitin. If you said chita and chitim, shani toim, usher behen, ben bekemach, ben bepat. He's also both in wheat flour and wheat and bread. Okay. Grease grisin, shenitoim, if he uses the term grease and grisin, right, then asur behen ben chayim ben mushalim. You're restricted them whether they are raw or cooked. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, konim grease or chita, if you only use the term grease or chita, shenitoim mutar lakus chayim, then if you don't include that which is raw, only that which is cooked. Tanya. Shimon Gamliel Omer, chita shenitoim also lafut. Right? If you say chita, that I'm restricted in, then you can't bake it. Mutar lakus. Right, that you are, then you're allowed to chew it raw. Chitim shani toim also lakus umutar lafot, and then you are allowed to chew it raw, but you are allowed to bake it. So here, just quickly, chita is in the singular, right? So chita in the singular means that you come out with a singular item. So that's when you bake the pot, right? Then you have one item, one object that comes out afterwards. So when you say chita, it means reference to pot. When you say chitim, right, then you're referring to the kernels themselves, right? So the chita, so that's referring to the kemach. So therefore, you can't chew it raw. You can't use the chita itself, but you're not referencing to pot. Right now, if you say chita,
you have to chew more than one kernel.
Chita v'chitin, if you use both terms, sheni toim, also ben lakus, ben lafot, then you restrict yourself in both. Gris, sheni toim, also the vashel, right, if he uses the word gris by itself, again, you know, can't cook it. So again, the term gris versus grisim is that gris is a singular object, and therefore when you cook it, right, it becomes a mush. That mush is one item, and therefore gris restricts you in that. Whereas if you mutzel akus, and you can eat it raw, grisin, right, if you have grisin, which are plural, then shenitwe mutzel akus, then you can't eat it raw, mutzel bashel, then you can bake it, right, or cook it, I'm sorry. Garis grisin, if you use both of them, shenitwe aser ben labashel ben lakus, then you're restricted in both eating it raw and cooked. Because again, you have to make sense at the language that he's using and what the normal references are to these languages. So when he uses the singular form, we say it refers to the product, which, you know, is the cooked or baked product, which is a singular object, versus when he uses the plural form, when he's referring to the raw item, if he uses both, then he has restricted himself in both.